Professor Sarah is meeting May 1st, 2018 at 1:30.
Let's call us to order 1:32, whatever the heck it is.
That class here.
I guess Councilman Bell and Councilwoman Dill are excused. Who's present is Councilman Sheldon, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Woods, and Councilman Cartier, and Penrose walked out.
And Councilman Weiner just called me and he is not able to come.
And Councilman Weiner is not here. Yes.
He's working.
Councilman Tackett is excused too. All right. What do we got?
Seven.
Jay's on his way to Boston.
He's on his way to Boston. Penrose is here.
I don't have.
As soon as Penrose comes in, we can vote the minutes.
Okay.
He was here. Here he comes.
Step in that door.
Where'd he go? He's just walking.
He saw the way you looked at him.
Okay.
He's playing with his.
Let's just get started on the Meadows plan. Tracy Searle,
acting general manager. When the department a week or so ago went over our fiscal year 19 operating budget, it gave you a handout of the different cuts that we had put together to meet the budget goals. And one of those cuts was allowing certain
parcels. Can you wait a minute?
Councilman
Hollins is present.
Motion to approve the minutes of the March 2nd meeting.
Move the second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Ayes have it. There you go.
Good, thank you. So one of the proposals we had was to allow certain fields to go to Meadows or to have a reduced mowing schedule. And the reason for that is we pay our contractors to mow on a per acre basis. So if we reduce the number of times and the number of acres they're mowing, then we can reduce our contractual cost. So this is one of the things we had looked at. When we met with the committee chairs before we presented to council, we showed them the list of some of the, they were neighborhood parks that we had initially looked at for this proposal. And they raised a lot of very good concerns about some of those parks. And some of it based on their experience back, some of you might recall during the Coons administration, we had a similar proposal and we heard a lot from certain communities during that time. So we went back in our department and we talked, and I talked a lot to Paul and Paul about this. And they spent a lot of time the last time we did this meadowing dealing with constituents and their concerns. So what we did is we have two proposals for you today. The first one is our initial plan, and the second one was when we kind of stepped back and revisited it. And we're probably leaning towards option B, but we're very open to your input today. So first we're going to go through the neighborhood parks that we had initially proposed. That'll be option A. And in option B, we looked at some of our larger parks, our regional parks, and we looked at parts of those parks that aren't really used for active rec, where we thought we could get more contiguous acres together that we didn't mow, and then we would take those crews and have them mow nearby neighborhood parks instead of doing those contractually. So we're going to go through this in a lot of detail. I just wanted to...
Just have one quick question.
Councilman Smiley.
Okay. Is it FY 2018, calendar year 2018, FY 18 and 19?
It should be fiscal year 19. It was proposed in our fiscal year 19 budget. As a practical matter, as the growing season starts, it's going to start before July 1.
Exactly.
We may start doing some of these in 2018, but it's part of the fiscal year 2019.
That's fine. I just wanted to clarify. Okay.
Yeah, and that's it. And so Paul Johnson's going to go through the specifics, and we'll show you exact locations and go into more detail. Thank you.
Gave me one.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'll go through a few of the slides here to go over what Tracy just discussed. The first first one, like she talked about, option A is reduce the mowing cycle 2 times per year for the neighborhood parks that we talked about. Option B is going to be just productive hours swapped out for the regional parks. So that'll be my guys maintaining meadows at the regional parks. In exchange, we'll take away some of the acreage from the contractor to get the savings. So that'll be shown in some future slides here. But it's just a picture of some of the reduced mowing, what it could look at like at some of the regional parks. We cut like a path through there where you can walk through, kind of get a little bit creative if we wanted to. All right, so option B, part one, is strategically identify select areas with our regional parks. So we're talking about Glasgow, Banning, Delcastle, those areas. We can't do much of Carousel because of the horses and the pastures. So what we would do is identify select areas, and we'll show them in future slides, of areas that we can maintain in exchange for taking over some of the contracted parks. And then part two is contractual service reductions, which would be Healthways, which is the parcel down in Odessa that we're probably going to meadow regardless, because that's what it was designed to do. We reevaluated some acreage at the Spray Farm MOT. There were some trees taken out a few years ago by the power lines that we're no longer able to mow, so that's being done with a bush hog. So there's some trade-off there, and we've taken away acreage at Wiggins Mill, and we're going to give that back to that little acre back to the farmer, because we've removed all the amenities out there because the park was never built. So these are the two areas that we defined at Glasgow. So you have the portion, when you come into the main entrance, the portion all the way to the right is the 2.2 acres. It's down closest to like park equipment, if anybody's familiar. The other 1.3 is adjacent to the Hermitage. So it's a total of about 3.5 acres that we would swap out for instance, like a Melody Meadows, a Fox Run, something like that we could take away from the contract. This is Delcastle. This is the area that runs adjacent to McKenna's Church Road. It's where the memorial trees are. That's a total of about 2.6 acres, which we could swap out for Arundel, which was originally proposed for Arundel. This is Banning. The area on the right, the 2.9 acres, is in the area between the tennis courts and the pond over there. The other area is the 3.8 acres. We could get a little bit creative over there just because that field is so large. So that one doesn't have to be identical, but that's what we're proposing. So in exchange for that, we could take back like parks that are close by, like Wordy Estates or Richardson Park, or things where we don't have a lot of travel time. And Healthways, we're going to continue to cut the 20-foot buffer around the perimeter and along the walking path so it doesn't encroach into the road frontage or the walking areas. Talk about recalculating MOT to gain 5 acres there. And Wiggins Mill, there's no longer any amenities there, so there's no sense in cutting that parcel. We'll just give it to the farmer. He can incorporate that into his lease. This is the area at Healthways this is the interior part of Healthways that we're talking about, but we're also looking to meadow outside of the interior of the walking path. So it'd be the frontage on DuPont Highway where we cut a buffer. The Gilbert Drive back there, we cut a buffer, and then the rest would go to meadow. This is like a street view from Google Maps. It's what it looks like today. All right, the Spray Farm. The area, the top right corner, it's still actually showing some of the trees, but a lot of those trees were removed during the Homeland Security because there's high tension lines through there. That's the area that we recalculated and gained the 5 acres on. And we talked about Wiggins Mill. We took out the pavilion and the playground equipment, so there's nothing there now. Long-term goals is to move into more of a managed meadow. What I just talked about was more of a reduced mowing schedule. It really wasn't a formal managed meadow. But long-term, as we partner with either DNS or University of Delaware, Department of or Delaware Nursery Landscape, somebody to come up with a comprehensive plan. The long-term goal was to turn these over into managed meadows where we have the proper grass, the wildflower mix, so it looks more aesthetically pleasing than just the reduced melon schedule. So by doing that, it helps increase the habitat, increases pollinators, reduces the melon schedule, reduces carbon and nitrous oxide into the environment, reduces wear on our equipment, reduces erosion, provides food for wildlife, also raises public awareness where there's a program where you can get your backyard certified as a natural habitat. So that would help, you know, educate the public on those type of programs that are available and try it at their own homes. Improves water quality. It's just some more benefits, the clean water, the fresh air, wildlife, most of it we already talked about. That's pretty much it. Any questions or suggestions?
Even though those for the option A.
It's
to allow.
Yeah,
I just want to make sure people see this was just to give you option A so we can get a feel for the neighborhood parks that were initially considered. Yeah.
So this is what it was initially proposed, which we knew was going to generate a ton of complaints, phone calls, whatever. So option B is to kind of swap these out for in-kind labor at the regional parks.
Tracy Searles again, and Paul touched on it, but another benefit to the regional parks is we can put together more acreage in certain areas. So over time, if we invest in planning it properly to create a managed meadow, that outside of all the environmental benefits can actually even reduce, it takes a few years to have it established, but after that, it can even take less mowing than what we're considering this year. And it would be a nice opportunity in those parks also, you know, for some education as well. So we thought that was another nice aspect of that plan.
If you go back to the Del Castle one.
Want to look at the picture?
Yeah. I mean, you already have some of this growing into that stuff.
Well, that's the golf course.
I know, right. But I'm saying that's all. They don't mow that.
Right.
It's
that's
in.
That's the rough area.
It's already. Yeah, they used to mow it. I mean, I'm just saying, would it convert to something like what's over there?
It would look similar. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I'm just. That's all I was meaning. It's the same thing. It's already there.
The other slide here was just showing the county code that allows us to meadow. As long as it's non-residential, we cut a 20-foot buffer, then we're allowed to do it per code. So there's no code issue.
The one I brought up was Fox Run, which happened to be mine the last time when Chris Coons made it into a meadow. I got so many damn calls about it. So I'm like, are you prepared to do it again?
These slides here are just overhead GIS of the areas of option A that we proposed. If anybody wants to go through, is not familiar. Councilman?
Yeah, I just want to comment on the public becoming aware that they could have their backyard certified. Just kind of walk gently there and coordinate with code. I remember council member and code having issues because the people piled their limbs up and claimed it was a habitat in their backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that went on and on and on. Remember?
And still does.
And,
yep.
And it's still an issue. But they didn't want to clean the limbs. They just kept piling up and a bird went in there and boom, I had a habitat. So
they had very
strict. So let's coordinate that with code and make sure where we're at on that.
Some of the criteria, they have to have water, bedding, food, material. So it's just there's strict criteria in order to become certified.
But it was a code issue.
Yeah, listen, absolutely.
I had a pig taken into the Delaware Pigeon Club, so.
Councilman Cardin.
I noticed my district's not included in any parks. I think Woodshaven Cruise and possibly Rockwood could have options for meadowing there, perhaps. You know, I would encourage you to look at that. We have a walking path at Woodshaven Cruise, but a lot of it adjacent to the woods, you know, is not really heavily utilized. You've got, you know, clay structures where people are in a parking lot, but kind of like the westernmost portion of the site probably could be a candidate for this.
And I agree. There's a lot of areas, especially like Tally Day on the backside of the forum. What we concentrated on, they're more district parks. We concentrated on the regional parks to start it, because the regional parks, actually, I have a crew station there that's more able to manage this better so it doesn't get out of hand. So that's why we selected the ones that we did.
Councilman Smiles.
I'm just going to say, the one that's in my district, it's not an issue, but I'm more prone to go with the larger parks just because your community parks. I mean, you already, I mean, people ride down the road and see where Del Dot lets it grow in the medium, and we get the phone call, well, why do I have to keep mine cut so short? So I just see if they ride by a community park where we allow portions of it to go and go home, and they've got a notice on their door where their grass hasn't been cut to the proper height. You know what I'm saying? It's just too close for comparison is all I say.
I just have something to say. Looking at, you know, your pass through the grass and putting it in a community park is tick habitat. So, you know, you got to watch what you wish for sometimes. But, you know, in a bigger park, you're not going to get this buffers away from it. But, like, you're mowing through. I mean, that's, if you walk through a pasture like that, you're going to end up with ticks. Councilman Woods.
I noticed, like, most of the state where they have places where they're doing the meadows, they have the signs that say, do not cut meadow or whatever. Are we going to do something similar to that in these areas? So that, I think that'll.
So people know why.
That's people know why, exactly.
We're in the process of coming up with a couple different templates for signs, so we will put some type of notification up, absolutely.
Just on the certification, the code, it would almost be the same as a certification with woodlands for farmland assessment. You know, if they were certified in the backyard and they show a certification as habitat, that is more than pollen limbs in your backyard.
And we do this at the regional parks, and any of you want to come out and walk the site and meet me out there, and you have suggestions, ideas, I'd be more than happy to meet you out there or whatever you want to do.
You do what you got to do. I'll handle the calls.
Sounds good to me.
That's what I get paid to do. And I got a lot of people in mind. A lot of people in mind district got to do public service anyway. Put them out there with a sick.
Does anyone else have any questions? Any from the public?
I'm going to ask him
about grass cutting.
For smoking.
It sounds like council's comfortable with Plan B. That is fair. I just kind of want to get a general assessment because we'll proceed in that direction. So, okay. Thank you.
We're saving the environment. We're doing all of that.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Let it grow up in trees.
As long as there's public transportation by there.
Look like Three Little Bakers. And we know how everybody loves that.
Hey, Bill. Next one.
Go ahead. The next one is reorganization and new job specifications.
Sure. Thank you. Tracy Searle, Acting General Manager. We have several new job specifications that will be coming to council for approval over the course of the next month. So I first wanted to address those specific positions, and then I'm also going to put those in the context of kind of the direction we see the department going as far as an organization. A couple things I wanted to point out just up front is, one, everything we're proposing, even though they're new positions, it's cost neutral. We're using existing management positions and converting them, in those cases, to a job specification that we think more accurately reflects the duties that we would like to see them perform. So this is a cost neutral proposal. The other thing I wanted to mention is a lot of these positions are management positions, and I appreciate that that is tough in budget times to look at management when I know Paul could really use some help, you know, mowing the grass. And I think that all of you, I understand our current fiscal situation. At the same time, I think that I hope you know I value the services that people do out there, whether it's mowing grass or cutting the trees. And as our budget allows it, that is something I will continue to advocate for. At most of our budget presentations, I talk about the number of positions that have been cut in our department. And so as the budget allows, that's something that I will advocate for also. As far as the need for these management positions, what this slide shows is this is our upper management in the department, and five out of our six top management positions are in an acting role currently, including myself. The legislation putting me forward to council for approval is one of the pieces of legislation that should be forthcoming in the next month. But I think particularly in challenging budget times, when I think we have a lot of people who do good work, but we continue to do more with less, and we really need to look at ways to be more efficient. And it's very difficult to ask managers in acting positions to really look at the efficiencies and push change maybe as much as we would like to. So we are trying to put really just a permanent management structure in place that we think over time will help, you know, everybody in the department. The first position, the sewer maintenance manager, this is a new position. It was approved by the HRAB. It was introduced on the 24th of April and will be voted on next Tuesday on May 8th. This position will oversee the sewer operations division. This is our collection system maintenance, our pump stations, our treatment plants, and construction support. In the past, this division had been managed by an assistant county engineer. That job specification is focused primarily on engineering project work, but it allows management of a section. Over time, and this isn't something that just happened this year, this is something that's happened over the past maybe 5 years, engineering functions that used to be in this division have moved to the engineering division. So this division is really focused on maintenance of our system. So this job specification will better describe what we would like that person to focus on, best management practices as far as maintenance, management, and personnel skills versus more engineering project management. So that's the reason for this change. Another position that will be up for council approval on May 8th is the Stormwater and Environmental Programs Manager position. This was formerly the Environmental Compliance Manager. This job spec was revised and the position upgraded as a result of a review by Human Resources. This position, back when I look at, and granted it's been too long now, but when I look at when I started with the county, the Environmental Compliance Manager at the same, you know, pay grade did not have the MS4 stormwater program with 2,000 and some basins. It did not have the FOG program with all of the commercial food establishments. So it's been particularly the past 10 years, enormous responsibilities have been put under this position, and it's believed that the upgrade, that this person was operating outside of their current job specification, and the new spec reflects everything that this person is responsible for, including the broad stormwater program. And the other thing that this would do is currently all of these functions fall under the umbrella of our engineering division, but most of that division is really dedicated to sewer engineering projects. And this is really a completely different specialty area. So this would be separated out, still under the sewer fund, but it would be its own division, the Stormwater and Environmental Programs Division, separate from the engineering division. So it would really separate it out by function and put it all together, if that makes sense. Parks Division Manager is a position that will be introduced on the 8th and then voted on thereafter. This position would pull together, it would be creating a parks division. We currently have internal services as the division with a property maintenance section, a fleet section, and a facilities section. And then the planning side of our park system is under engineering. So it's not together under the same umbrella. I think we were fortunate that John Husband was a bit of a jack of all trades and he could go from sewers to stormwater to park planning, but I don't think it's realistic to expect that future division heads would have that type of background. And I also think there's a lot to be gained by having the planning and the operation sides working together so that what we plan is efficient to maintain, et cetera. So this position would pull those things together. We're also focusing on coordinating more intensively with community services and the recreation side. So this would be the point person to really have that kind of communication with community services. And this, the colors don't show up as great on this screen as they did when I first did this. Where we're going with some of these new positions is to really group the department into like functions. All of parks being in an umbrella, all of stormwater, all of sewers. It really does, it looks like various shades of yellow, but when I did it on my computer, it looked like different colors. This shows our current alignment, and both senior managers, it's not probably showing up as well here, have like three different types of specialties under them. You know, sewer fund, fleet, all these varying things. The sewer operations right now is under one senior manager, and the sewer engineering is under a different senior manager. So for all of these areas, you have to go all the way up to the GM to pull together the planning and the operations side. So what the realignment would do would be to put the functions together. So you would have one senior manager over the sewer fund, which is currently being advertised. It's being advertised selectively certified for a PE with background in sanitary sewer and stormwaters. And that senior manager would be over basically the sewer fund division. So you would have sewer maintenance headed by the position I discussed a minute ago. You would have sewer engineering, and then you would have the stormwater and environmental division, and I also discussed that a little bit a minute ago. Then you would have a senior manager over the general fund divisions, and one would be the parks division, and another would be the facilities and fleet maintenance division. It was interesting, we interviewed for the internal services manager about a year and a half ago. And internal services is parks, fleet, and buildings. And when we did those interviews, we found that candidates seemed to either have parks experience or fleet and buildings, but there were no candidates that really had experience over all three of those categories. And I think it just shows that they are very different specialties. And I think that over time, there will be efficiency in that. And I think it will also, regardless of even who the GM the department is, it's an organization where you can bring in people. I think the way the department was put together, there were a lot of people like Jonathan who could do different things, but then it becomes very difficult to hire somebody who's maybe a jack of all trades. So I think that by grouping it by function, we'll establish efficiencies and also have an organization over time that will operate well and will be able to attract good candidates. So this just goes over what I've basically already said, but it provides it in a little bit more detail for you. And if you go through, I feel like I'm repeating myself, so I don't know if I wanna, you know, bore you and keep repeating myself, but this basically is bullets to go with what I've just explained as far as the org charts. Over time, you know, a fleet and facilities manager, some of the things you see, they're not before you now. I mean, some of these things are ways we see the department evolving over time, but we're working with current vacancies we have now and bringing those forward now.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. All right. Any questions?
I like it. I'm supportive of it. I think it's been this should have happened a while back, but I agree with all the acting in there. We should have somebody that's stable, that's in the job. I'm breaking it up, you're right. You have to be more, less jack of all trades, as you said, and more lean and put into perspective. You do sewers, you should stay on sewers. That should be the job, and so forth with the parks. Parks administration should be just there. That's what they're focusing on. So I like what you're doing here.
Councilman Carter?
Yeah, I think, to echo what Tim just said, I think, you know, having a division organized where all the functions that are grouped, should be grouped together, are grouped together and have a manager with responsibility for those functions, I mean, it's just, I think, very needed in your department, and it was, I think, maybe too flat for an organization, and now we're going to have people that are in charge of something that are grouped logically with a function. So, you know, if I or you need to make a phone call, you know, I think it gets a result quicker, and, you know, I think it will promote efficiency.
I just have a question. So, these are new positions, but not new positions, or how much money is going to be added by adding these positions?
So we're using current vacancies. For example, Jonathan's husband was the engineering and environmental compliance manager. Currently, we have an existing assistant county engineer fulfilling that role, and that job spec actually fits the engineering department. It's kind of like the highest level engineer as far as our job spec, and that was a position we already had. It's Ed Cooper's, who that's, you know, he's already in our department, and then we're using Jonathan's position to fund the sewer manager. So we have vacant positions we're using. We have the internal services manager that can fund the parks division manager. Also separating out general fund and sewer fund. I have to match a sewer fund position with a sewer fund and vice versa. The stormwater and environmental compliance position would be an upgrade to a current employee. That's Mike Harris, who supervises our stormwater group. And that went through the HR process to say, look at his spec, and they said it merited a reclass. It went through the HRAB, but then comes here because they needed a new class specification to add the additional duties, and it was of a high enough pay grade that it has to come to council for approval. Sometimes when we do a reclass, I think if it's under a pay grade 30, it doesn't come to council. That's the cutoff.
So that one
would, so that one would just be an incumbent over the next 2 years. Their salary would go up 10%. On the flip side, you're hiring people into two positions that the incumbents were at the top of their scale, so they will come in at lower steps initially, so you will have a balancing. And there are also positions, it might get into the weeds, but over time, as we have vacancies, as people retire, we're evaluating whether we need to fill all of the positions, particularly more like management and middle management. So I think over time, we're trying to be very cost conscious, and there may be, you know, positions that we don't choose to fill the same way because we know we need another crew out there cutting trees. So
I guess, you know, just adding positions when we're looking at a 15% tax increase, you know, I was in a meeting last night, and it comes down to, especially down my way, if we're going to have a 15% tax increase and get a park in Middletown, they don't want the park. They don't want the paramedic station. They'd rather have them put in a firehouse. They don't want a library moved if it's going to be a 15% tax increase. And it looks like we're adding positions. And that's the truth of it when we're in dire straits, but supposedly.
Yeah, I do understand, and that was a concern I had even with the timing. But again, I just want to emphasize we're converting positions is maybe the best word, but we're using what we currently have. So, but I do understand.
Councilman Carter.
So you are saying this is this reorganization with all the new positions is going to be budget neutral.
Correct.
You're going to be able to use your existing, you know, budget and pay for it that way.
Correctly. I think our budget book shows a vacant internal services manager and a vacant engineering and environmental compliance manager. those two positions will be turned in to the two positions I described today. But they could not show up in the budget book because obviously these positions have not been approved. But no, it would be an even swap of those, and they're the same pay grade as what we're proposing. We just feel that these job specifications better focus the job on what we would like to see.
Now, is that contingent on getting the 15% tax increase?
Our entire budget book assumes that increase. So that's my
honestly, we're putting the horse before the cart.
Yeah. I'll admit the timing is a little bit.
I just
know.
Have a hard thing with that. So.
I understand.
Is there any more questions? We're down to a few of us. any from the public? Councilman Carter.
I just wanted I'll do a public comment.
Thank you.
Wanted to inquire about concept plan for walking path for Gwynhurst Park, and I think I spoke about that. I don't know if you have anything in the works. Or I'm going to be meeting with Gwynhurst Thursday at their civic meeting. Have an update on that.
Councilman
Carter,
Kendall Summers, Public Works. I have started to look into a concept plan. I have some lines on a map to show what we could potentially look like. There are some concerns because there, as you know, are no sidewalks on the streets, so there may be some DelDOT technical difficulties connecting a pathway to the streets, but I'd be happy to report that to you and talk to you before.
That would be great. Thank you.
Anything else under other?
I could, Tracy Searles. I had a couple of things to mention under other. One thing, at Delcastle Park, the county entered into a lease with an organization to run the tennis facility and to construct an indoor facility. This was, I'm going to say, a year or two ago. The lease came to council for approval. It recently came to our attention that they're going to need to amend that lease due to changing their financing. And that amendment is likely to come to council. There was supposed to be a groundbreaking yesterday, and there's a yellow sign at Delcastle. Another member of council already called me yesterday. What's that sign about? And we're telling them to take it down. And I just want to make sure council knows, we've told the group that any amendments still have to come to council. So we don't want the cart to get before the horse. It's something we're looking at pretty seriously internally. And then when we have a revised lease, we'll bring that to you. But I didn't want you to have any questions if anybody else saw that sign out there. The second thing I wanted to mention is on Thursday, the county executive at 2:00 is gonna be at the Delaware Nature Society Farm in Coverdale Farms to sign an executive order that would state that all future plantings on county parkland or around county buildings will be native species. And I wanted to invite all of council is invited to come to that signing. Just this morning I was at Legislative Hall because Senator Hansen had a ceremony because we were speaking of the certified wildlife habitat. Leg Hall became the first Legislative Hall in the country to obtain that certification. And there was an event this morning, Colin O'Mara and others came. And I have talked maybe to a couple of council people about it, and I'd be happy to have a presentation if you'd be interested about the value and of having native plants, not just on county property, but everywhere. I've learned a lot. I sat on the Native Species Task Force that Senator Hansen had put together, and I never realized the difference. A Bradford pear maybe supports 4 natural species in our environment, where an oak tree supports over 500. The other thing that has a direct link to the counties, one of our main functions, which is water quality, is that the native plants tend to have deeper root systems and remove a lot more nutrients, from the water, and so they're a big piece of ensuring clean water, which is really one of our primary missions with our stormwater and sewer system. So I just wanted to invite all of council to that event. I think Brian's probably going to send something out, and I'd be happy to have a committee meeting to talk more about it if anyone would be interested.
Any other comments, questions?
Motion for adjournment.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
We started, I don't know if we can end this thing.
It's continued. You gotta do, you gotta continue it, right?
Is that right?
Technically, it's not over.
You're right. So we'll just call for a continuously.
We're taking a recess for about a month.
Yeah. We're taking a long vacation.
What? We'll probably have to end it to start.
Yeah, we'll have to end it to start. If we have a call.
Put it in, either one of you put it in there.
Yeah.